Okay, everyone, we're about to get started here. Again, it's Mason here on the call for Larry today. Larry is actually on the Rhea cruise, R-E-I-A, Rhea cruise, and I'm actually filling in. This is the first time I've ever filled in for Larry, but I did want to give you an overview of what he's doing, where he's at, and how something that actually you can check out. We're about to begin the call here in just a few minutes, well, 1 minute left. And I'll kick it off with kind of giving you an update on what the Rhea cruise is. If you are in front of a computer or you want to write this information down, the Rhea cruise, what it is you can check it out at nationalrheacruise.com. Okay, and on that website, you'll be able to find information about the Rhea cruise. So. And I might say this a few times at the beginning of the call, just for all those who are joining. I am filling in for Larry today because he is on the Rhea cruise. I will be answering all the questions that have come through. Larry made sure he got me those questions. And again, I am filling in for Larry this time because, for me, he's actually on the Rhea cruise. So, again, the Rhea cruise. You can learn more about it at nationalrheacruise.com. That's where Larry is, and that's why I'm filling in for him today. I'll be answering all the questions that are available. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Rhea cruise up front before we get started. So in the meantime, you can use to mute your call, you can use *6, and then and then we will answer any questions that that you guys have. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Rhea cruise. The Rhea cruise, I would actually make it a goal for yourself to get on at some point. There's actually a lot of leaders on those cruises, a lot of experts on those cruises on that cruise, and there's other cruises out there. That's why I was saying there's a real estate marketing cruise, and there's a lot of other. Events that take place on cruises that you could get around. But the reason why this one is really unique is because there's a lot of big players on there. So I'm not saying you have to go and sign up for the next one, but make it a goal at some point in your life to get on one. They kind of mix it a little bit with education and fun and networking. You have to do a lot of stuff. Some of the topics they're going to be covering while they're there is going to be peer-to-peer lending, crowdfunding, development, senior housing, alternative investments, and equity shares. That's right from the website at nationalrheacruise.com. So as I mentioned in the beginning of the call, I'm going to be filling in for Larry on this call, answering any questions that you have. Larry asked me to jump on the call tonight, which I have never done before for him. So I'll do my best to get through this on a group level. And I did want to also kind of continue the call with some recent success stories, and then I'll open up the lines. We'll get some questions answered. But I just want to say, first of all, recently I've been meeting up with a few investors face to face in different parts of the country right now. Because if some of you know, I travel quite a bit, and I've been overseas in Uganda with my wife and my child, and my next child is going to be born in May. But while I've been here, I've been just reconnecting with some investors that I haven't seen in quite some time, building up my real estate business for 2016, creating some systems. So one of the things I wanted to share with you is that while I've been on this like little tour, I guess you could call it, I've been spending a lot of time in the mindset zone, which is really important in our business and what we do. And I always compare this business, our industry, what we do. It is literally like a boxing match. You got to prepare for the match. You got to believe you're going to win. When you get in the ring, you're going to get punched, and you got to give punches. You're going to win rounds. You're going to lose some rounds. And there's going to be times where you do get knocked down, but you got to get back up. It's not easy. And I know I've shared this concept and this idea with many of you and many people over the course of time. And the cool thing
Nancy?
Is, yep, you can just put your phone on *6, and then I'll answer those questions in a minute. So the cool thing is about this business and having the mindset in the real estate business is the fact actually, you know what? Let me just re-announce this while we have a bunch of new callers coming in. Larry is not going to be on the call tonight because he's at the National RIA Cruise. So Nathan, is going to be answering the questions that you have. I'll be opening up the lines. We'll get those questions answered here in a little bit. But I just wanted to let everyone know Larry's on the National RIA Cruise, which you can learn more about that at nationalriacruise.com. And I would recommend that you put it in your put it on your goal list to get to at some point in the near future in your real estate business. So going back to how this business is like a boxing match, and how there's days you're gonna one, you have to train for it. Two, you gotta believe that you're gonna win. And there's times you're gonna be knocked down. You have to throw punches, and you're gonna take punches. And the reality is that this business is all about mindset. The paperwork gets really simple. After you do a deal, after you do a few deals, the paperwork gets simple. You have the attorney step in or ask your good attorney some good questions and ask them the process that what we need to do to make it happen, right, to get the deal closed. But after a while, this business really becomes about mindset and expansion of yourself. I was listening to an audio of Tony Robbins just today, and I just took a few notes. And Tony Robbins being the international speaker and trainer. And one of the things he said, if we don't change, we can't expect change, right? So if you want change in your own personal life, you have to do something to change. You have to change it. If you want a change in your income, you have to change. And that's just one liner that I wanted to share with you, because in order for us to grow, we can't expect to do the same thing over and over again. So this business is truly like a boxing match, and we have to give those punches, we have to take some, and sometimes those punches are, sometimes those punches that we give is putting on a mindset or, saying things maybe that we're not comfortable with, putting out an offer that we're not comfortable with, asking questions that we're not comfortable with, right? Those maybe sometimes you have to, get out there and take action and make an offer and plug away on your real estate deals. And then other times you're going to take some punches, right? And that's like rejection. No, people may think you're crazy, or you may get ridiculed by your family or friends, So all those things are going to happen in your real estate business, right? There's just part of the business. It's not going to go away. So the cool thing is, while I've been working with some of you, and some of you have been working directly with Larry, the cool thing is we've been having awesome success, which is truly the reason why I love this business. I've been investing for about 10 years, and I'll tell you what, the success that we're seeing at the Goins Group and every student, it has truly, everyone that's plugged in, okay? I know what it's like. I know what it's like to try to get up and, work on the business. It's not easy. I'm not gonna tell you that it's all beautiful green grass and it's always easy all the time. It's not. But the reality is, those who stay active and committed, is the people that actually get results. And by the way, there's some documents that Larry that I've recently shared that we've been using in the office. It's the activity sheets. And we've been using it more diligently. If you haven't received those yet, I'd be more than happy to send them over to you. So you can shoot me an email at nathan@larrygoins.com. That's nathan@larrygoins.com. And I'd be more than happy to get those over to you. And I'd actually help you apply them into your real estate business, because those action sheets are really helpful. So I wanted to share a few things about those who have been active and those who have been taking action and participating and getting involved in this real estate business, this boxing match. And it's truly great to see how many people are actually making offers, getting deals accepted, closing deals. I find myself actually on the phone quite often recently with students that are where we're doing a three-way call with a mortgage broker or with an attorney, and we're going to closing. And there I am on the call, either listening or chiming in at certain points. That's been happening a lot, and that's not just because of myself. It's actually because of the students and yourselves that actually take action on what's being done. So I'm so excited to hear, just recently, and I don't want to go off naming names here, but you know, had one gentleman, one student who has never made a deal before, and he got a realtor on his side to get an offer out there. And that was huge. Totally just light lit up my night. That was awesome. And then another student, not even in the same borders of the United States, making offers across country, getting offers accepted, right? And the important thing is, yeah, there's a struggle. There's moments where we hear like, oh, is this really going to work? Is it really going to? They didn't accept my first offer. What's going to happen? What do I do now? And I'll share this one thing, and then we'll jump into some questions here. There's going to be a time where you're going to be battling something, right? There's going to be like a hurdle or a challenge, and just use this line in your mind, right? And it's not the question you want to be asking yourself is, how can I achieve what I'm trying to get? How can I get through this? How do I overcome this? Ask yourself how, and you'll find a way. But if you look at the situation or the hurdle and with the attitude of, oh, man, another roadblock, or that realtor is not talking to me, or that realtor doesn't want to submit my deal, right? If your language pattern, if your tonality, your attitude ends with frustration, then you're just going to continually get frustration. But if you could mute your phone, that'd be awesome. Whoever's got their phone on, just hit *6 to mute your line. So real quick, that if you have an attitude about whenever you're faced with a challenge, that you're trying to overcome that challenge by asking a question of, well, how can I do this? You have a support team. You have Larry. You have myself. You have a whole team of people that are willing, your business advisor, that are willing there to help and support you, but you just have to tap into it, asking questions, you know, what can I listen to, what documents do I need, is there a connection that I can get connected with, and all that good stuff. So I just want you to keep in mind that, again, we're here to support you, here to help you achieve your real estate goals, and let's jump into some questions here. Now, I will start with the ones that I did get from Larry. And I'll put out a reminder just for anyone who's recently come on the call. Again, it's Nathan here, and I will be filling in for Larry because this week actually, Larry's on the National RIA Cruise. It's the National RIA Winter Cruise, and that's February 20th through the 27th. Bunch of education, a bunch of networking. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to nationalriacruise.com, and you can see what's being taught on the cruise. I would recommend that you do get on that cruise at some point in your life, and you'll meet other really cool people like Larry on that, and just put it in your goal list of things that you want to go on in the future or events to attend. So let me jump into a few questions that Larry has forwarded to me while I fill in for him today. Okay, so the first question I have is, the student asked that this is our first owner finance deal. The potential buyer's credit is less than perfect. What are the required documents and the compensating factor to qualify them for the mortgage? Okay, so this is a great question. This actually comes in from Decor. That's awesome. Actually, these guys, this is actually a father. If you guys are on the call, please chime in, by the way. You can do that by hitting *6 to unmute your line. Just to give you a little briefing on who these guys are, so cool. And this is a father and two sons. And let me just share what the coolest part about these three gentlemen. One, they've identified their strengths. That is just so powerful. One, you know, the dad, he's a relationship builder, right? He is the guy who gets out there, he's networking, and he's the one building the relationships. He knows how to do all that, so he's not so technical. But then one son is all about analyzing the deals, right? He knows how to analyze. He knows the little things to look for. On the deals. Then you have another son, and what he's really good at is running the numbers, right? So and also like data sheets, I think we were talking about that also. So there is and marketing. That's right. I knew I was basing that on one thing. And marketing. So the thing about that and why I bring that up is the power of knowing what your strength is, right? And when you know what your strength is in your team, you're able to do things a lot faster in the real estate business. If you try to operate in things that you're not good at, you're just going to get a high level of stress. That's really what ends up happening. So you want to try to avoid stress and increase productivity. So if you can find things that you can delegate to people that stresses you out, like me personally, I cannot stand anything with Excel. I'm not good at it. So I have to delegate that to someone on the team, right? So just keep that in mind. So to answer this question here about Sikor and his and this team here, gentlemen, when it comes to this, this is actually in Chapter 7. So to answer this question inside the Filthy Riches course about on this deal, it's an owner finance deal, and the buyer's credit is less than perfect, right? So the homeowner that's trying to purchase property has less than perfect credit, and so what's the required documents? Well, first of all, definitely check out Chapter 7. Okay, there's some background noise, so if you haven't muted your phone yet, if you could hit star 6, unless you want to ask a question here in a minute. So the documents that are required to qualify the person, what you want to do in order for qualification, you can definitely start off using what's called an RMLO, okay? An RMLO is someone, a licensed broker, mortgage broker, who can now get the documentation. It can comply with Dodd-Frank. And there's actually a whole list. There's a whole report that Larry put out with a list of RMLOs. Now, in order to make sure that your borrower can qualify for the mortgage, you have to make sure that they have the ability to pay back, they have the ability to pay the monthly payment. So let me give you a quick example. If they're currently paying rent of $700 a month, and they're paying rent somewhere, $700 a month, your mortgage cannot or should not come in at, let's say, $900, right? There's a lot of different things that you want to make sure that you consider, to comply with the Dodd-Frank Act. And so a good resource to include in your business is to go through an RMLO to see if they qualify. They actually can get you all the documentation. What they'll do is they'll ask your borrower, the homeowner, the potential homeowner. They'll ask your borrower all the questions. They'll ask your borrowers the questions of, you know, basic information, address, you know, name, all that good stuff, the basic general information. And then they'll ask them about their income and what their currently living status is, right? They will get credit. They'll see exactly what's going on. And they'll be able to give you like it's called a loan package. They'll be able to send that over to you. And I actually, in some of these resources, there's one company that spoke at Larry's Nothing But Seller Financing event called Texas Pride. Now, if you don't have the report of the RMLOs, I'd be more than happy to send it to you. But in order to do that, you have to send me an email so I can make sure I send it to you. So you can send an email to Nathan@LarryGoins.com, and I will send you this report, and it has a bunch of great information about RMLOs and also loan servicing companies. So instead of you trying to figure out, you know, all the documents that you may need, because typically, just to give you a good overview, I want just put yourself as if you would go to apply for a mortgage or apply for a credit card or apply for a loan at a bank. If you've ever experienced that before, they're going to ask you, you basically are trying to get the same information, right? So they'll ask you for your social, they'll ask you for, you know, your level of income, they'll ask you for your job, how long you've been working there, the amount of income that you make. So they will pull credit, right? That's what they do. So they gather as much information as they can on you to see if you can qualify to pay back the loan. So in this case, because it's an owner finance deal and you're looking to have a homeowner come into the property, you are looking for almost for the same requirements. However, your guidelines don't have to be so stringent. They don't have to be so strict because you are providing the financing. So to finish answering this question, all the documents that are needed for the pre-qualification to see if they qualify, the best thing to use is an RMLO. If you're wondering how much they cost to have, and you can actually pass these fees on to the homeowner, if they range anywhere between $500 and $800, depending on who you use, and that's a normal standard of process. I actually have a student in Alabama who structurally, created a fee sheet for their seller finance business. And they sent that fee sheet over to the homeowner in advance in an email and let them know, hey, these are the fees in order to do business with us. And they continually, they continue to move forward in the process. People know typically that there's fees involved in getting that set up. So I will be sure to email this gentleman that report. And again, if you want that report with the RMLOs and loan servicing companies, just shoot me an email to Nathan@LarryGowans.com, and I will get that over to you. Okay, so the next question, and then we're going to open up the lines here, but I want to make sure I get these questions answered here. Okay, the next question is, in the analyzer, what is the yield percentage that I am aiming for in order to tell the deal is a good one? Okay, what is the yield percentage I am aiming for? Now, the yield percentage, I don't know if this is for selling the note, but this is from Monica. Monica, if you're on the line, if you could hit *6 to unmute your phone, that'd be awesome, because I'm not sure if you're referring to the yield percentage as if you're selling the note or to tell if it's a good one. I'm not sure. Monica, are you on the line? If you want to chat, if not, it's okay. But I encourage that you do. It'd be great if you could go over it. All right. So I'm not too sure about that question, but hopefully I will either shoot her an email and get clarity on that, because I don't know if you're referring to the selling of the note on that one. Okay. By the way, Takor, are you guys on the line by chance? If you are and you want to chime in, if you could hit *6, that would be awesome. I want to make sure I answered that previous question correctly. If you wanted to jump
yes,
on
Nathan,
the line.
Yes, Nathan, I'm on the line.
Oh, awesome. How are you?
I'm good, Nathan. Thank you.
Good. Did I answer that? Was that helpful, or did you have more question more for that one?
Actually, you did. Actually, Kishan was able to give me more information on that by telling me that we can go through the RMLO. But I said, let's be able to find understand that they're able to qualify and can carry the mortgage, So
right.
That's why I said, let me ask you this. So we can get forward with it, because I think I'm going to be closing it this weekend. You did mention
awesome.
To me.
You got to tell me the update. Give me the update. I'm so excited about
it. We talked about you had some title issue, and we just cleared up. So we're closing on Friday, and while we were closing Friday this weekend, I got a potential buyer who went to look at the property and said they want it. So
awesome.
We're
now, how did
and
you
they
find
have
the
five.
Buyer? How did you find
actually,
the buyer?
We put it on Craigslist. It was on Craigslist. Yes,
that's
it was on
awesome.
Craigslist.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
and how did the call screening go? Remember, we went over the call screening and what to say. Is your son there also? Or no.
No, they actually no. They are not. I'm by
oh,
myself.
Okay.
But,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he tell you how it went?
Yeah, the call screener was good. Actually, I took the call. I bought an 800 number, because if I'm going to be out there in different state, I don't want somebody to say, this is a long distance call. I may get caught and have to pay extra money for this call,
Right.
So
I
have an 800 number, and it rolls onto my cell.
Okay.
So when
great.
The call come in, so I have an 800 number, which we put on the website.
Great.
And so that was perfect. because this way we can encourage people to call.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they don't have to feel, you know, most of the people would think that it's a long distance call because it's still in their head, a long distance call. I'm going to pay extra for that call. So I got that call, and actually I was like more like listening to this lady. She's telling me, I tell her we're financing and we do seller financing and we do up to 10 years. He said, well, I do not want a 10-year because I want to pay off this mortgage as fast as possible. I want a 5-year mortgage. I said to her, but it's going to be a 10-year would be much easier for you to pay. He said, she said, I'm paying $1,400 more rent per month.
Wow.
And the reason she wants to move into Macon, Georgia, because she's her husband is a contractor, and it seems like he is in that area working, and she have 3 children, so the house is perfect for them, so they wanted that house.
Wow, that's great. You said Macon, Georgia, right? Because I know we were looking in the Georgia market. I'm actually in Macon, Georgia right now.
You are in the area too?
I'm in the area right now, and maybe we should probably chat at some point either later on tonight or tomorrow, because I'm literally just in this area passing through, and what a great little town. It's a very quaint little town, and they got a railroad running through it. It's like, it kind of reminded me of the movies, like you see those railroads running through a town. Well, it's obviously they film it somewhere, but anyway, I'm actually here right now. It's interesting.
Really? You are in Macon, Georgia right now?
I'm actually in Macon, Georgia right now.
which one of the town?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. I GPSed my location.
There are a couple of towns there, you know. I picked them up while looking for properties in the area. That's why.
Well, maybe we can talk a little bit more about that tomorrow morning. That would be great if you have a little bit of time. But
yes, I will.
I actually used to flip some property in Georgia. It's a good market. It really is. I think the whole Georgia market, there's pockets of it, not the entire thing, but I think Georgia in general is a good market to look into. And then also there is the parts I was flipping property in was in the Cobb County, Roswell area. So just lower rehab property. This is a number of years ago, but I think it's a great state. It really is. So that's fantastic. So continue. You said she has the $5,000 and she wants to, what else were you saying about her?
She wants 5-year mortgage.
A 5-year mortgage, okay.
A 5-year mortgage on that, on the $25,000 loan, we're looking at $518 with taxes and insurance is less than $600.
Just
about $600. Right. So I think that's a great deal for them, and I think we're going forward with that.
That's great.
And then when Kishan, like you said, Kishan is the one who runs the number. He said that if we since it's a 5-year, we'll make more money on the note.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Since it's a 5-year note, we'll make more money. I said, really? Then he showed me some numbers. He said, well, that's how the analyzers. If the analyzer come back, you make more money on a 5-year note.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yes. Well, that's great. Well, Takor, I'll definitely get that. I'll get that document over to you. And then if you want tomorrow, early tomorrow morning, at some point, if you can, or some point tomorrow, we can kind of go over it together. And maybe we could pick out one or two that might work in just a few phone calls and get you an RMLO.
Sure. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Much.
Yeah. Thanks for jumping. Yeah. Thanks for chiming in. I really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. I do appreciate you answering my question.
Yeah. No problem. All right. So let me. Anyone else? I don't know if Monica, if you ended up jumping on the call, but your question came through about in the analyzer, what is the yield percentage that I am aiming for in order to tell if the deal is a good one? Now, if Monica, if you're on the phone, just chime in using #6 to unmute your phone. I just didn't know if you're regarding the note. If you're not, I'll shoot you an email. We'll go from there. Okay, so the I'm going to open up the lines are open. I feel like I'm missing one question somewhere. But if you did send in a question and I can't find it, just jump on the line now. You can ask any question you want, as long as it has nothing to do with politics. you can ask any question you want by hitting *6, and we'll get your question answered. So I'll just kind of open up the line. I'll just kind of be silent just for a few seconds, and if whoever wants to chime in and ask a question, go ahead. All right, so we got some.
Hey, Nathan, this is Jeremy Greening. I have a question.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good.
We were looking at some listings today that in the write-up indicated that they were for auction and indicated, for example, 5% buyer premium. But in digging deeper, all the realtor information was there, and it didn't appear that they were actually part of an auction. So I was wondering, could it have just been old copy in a listing? Maybe they were went to auction at some point and didn't sell, and now they're just being sold at retail. Any perspective on that before we contact the realtor?
Absolutely. You know what? That's a great point, and it does happen often. This happens typical with listings. You'll find this also, like, if you ever, even with direct, like, classified ads, you call a seller, and you say, oh, I'm calling about property 123 Main Street. And they're like, oh, we sold that already, but we didn't take the ad down, right? So it's like, oh, come on, take your ad down. right, same thing applies here, is that the listing may not be updated. It could have gone to auction, ended, and there was no update on the ad, or the auction was removed, or it was canceled for whatever reason. Someone could have went in before the auction and made an offer, and purchase the property. So anything typically like that can happen, and if the listing is not updated, then it will still remain. The best thing to do is call the realtor and ask directly, and just inquire if you want to leave it in the – I don't recommend leaving a long voicemail. Keep your voicemail as I like to say, keep your voicemail mysterious. So you simply, something short and sweet like, hi, I was calling about the property that's listed. My name is Joe, right? And just say your name, and then please call me back and state your phone number, right? And just like that. That's how you do it, Jimmy.
Okay, that's helpful. Short. And I think we will do that because in looking at the property history, too, it had a lot of listed, delisted, a lot of activity in the last 12 to 18 months, which could, as well as several price drops. So I think you're right. The best thing for us to do is just to speak to the realtor and get the lowdown on it.
Yeah, exactly. And from our last conversation, was that have you guys contacted any of the local agents in that area to pull, like, the CMAs and all that by chance?
Oh, we've been playing phone tag with a couple of local agents that had some listings, but we were actually out of town last Wednesday night, got back last night, so we've been out of pocket for a while, so we're just starting to ramp up again this week.
Oh, sure. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, so let me know what happens with that, because with the agent, we want to make sure they get back to you. Another thing, too, something I've been doing recently is email critiques. I don't think critiques, but kind of like any emails that you're sending out to a realtor, if you feel like they're not responding to you, just send me a copy of the email. I've been doing that recently with a few students, and we've been increasing the response rate. So I also want to make sure that your realtors or anyone else that you're trying to reach out to is calling you back. So.
Okay, thank you. We'll be sure to.
Yeah, no problem. All right, thanks for jumping on the line. All right, if anyone else wants to jump on the line, if you want to share, if you have a question that you want to ask, or if you want to share a recent goal that you've set for yourself. I'm actually looking in one of my apps. I use an app called Wunderlist. I use it on my iPhone. You can get it on Android phones and iPhones.
Sure.
It's an app called Wunderlist. And it's really cool because you just kind of map out your goals. I use it to map out my goals in there. Is someone on the line? Someone have a question? Or? Okay. So it's an app I use called Wunderlist, and I like to put my goals in there. And one of the recent goals that I put in there has been 3 new investing partners. So last month I put 4 new goals in under the list. All right, whoever's cooking dinner, if you could mute your phone and put it on 5 or 6, that would be great. So what I did was I created a goal, and underneath that goal I put a few sub-goals, and one of them was 3 new investing partners. That's actually why I've been, like I told you earlier, I've been meeting up with some investors over the phone and some in person that I've done business with for the past 10 years, so it's kind of really just good to connect with them. But what's important is that you know what your goals are, what you're going for, and if you ever map out or set new ones, what's important about setting the goal is that you share it with people that support your goals. Oh my gosh, listen to this. I was listening to another audio from Tony Robbins, and he says this, and this is a powerful statement truth about building your power team, okay? And talking to your family, talking to your friends about your real estate business. Because let me tell you, when you're getting started in this business or if you're doing it a while, there's a lot of weird and funny emotions that come up from family members and friends, right? So when you're getting started, you know, they may be ridiculing you or saying, hey, you're crazy. And then after you close deals and you make money and you got a new car, then they're like kind of looking at you strange. But one of the most important things that, like Tony was saying about building a power team, is this: love your family and pick your peers. Powerful statement. Love your family, but pick your peers. So he says that in about finding the people to partner with. Sometimes your family is not the best people to share all your real estate goals and dreams, which some of you have shared with me, which are awesome on paper or verbally in your goal sheets. Those are awesome. They really are. But can you just trump those around to some of your close friends and family? Not all the time. We all don't have a very supportive our family members sometimes are not on the same level we are, right? So love your family, but pick your peers. And the peers that you choose, those are the people that when you share a goal with them, they will say things like, wow, that's awesome. Wow, is there anything I can do to help you achieve that? Wow, what's your deadline? When are you going to – have you put a deadline to one of those goals so you achieve it by a certain time? Do you have accountability partner? How are you going to do that, right? It's the question of how are you going to do that, right? So just keep it that in mind when you're goal setting and sharing that your goals with other people. Love your family, pick your peers. If anybody has a question, feel free to chime in by hitting *6. You can interrupt me at any point in time, by the way. So in order to do that, *6 is how you unmute your phone. You can ask a question. Just as a reminder, you're going to want to check out nationalreacruise.com. National Rhea Cruz is where Larry is tonight, so I'm filling in for him tonight, which this is the first time I've ever done that. Check out that cruise. That's where he's at for the week, and he's networking. I highly recommend you put that on your goal list to get out to one of those, because it's people from all over the country, right? Everyone who's attached to a Rhea, right, has the opportunity to go. They promote it to all the Rhea groups. So there's people and investors and trainers from all over the country that go to the National Rhea Cruise to network, to build relationships. And you meet a lot of really cool investors while you're there, too. So, all right. And like I said, if you feel free to interrupt me at any point in time, if you have a question or if you want to share one of your goals. And one thing I do want to tell you is that when you do jump on these calls with Larry, what I highly recommend is that you come to the call with at least two questions, right? Two questions or something positive that's happening in your business. you know, success breeds success, right? Or as they say, success leaves clues, right? So when you are sharing your success with other people, I don't care if they're just listening or your peer group that you pick, right? When you share success, it actually breeds success. That's why I highly encourage you to not only just ask questions, but to also share what's happening in your business or what your goals are with Larry. Let him know that. Another cool thing, actually, if you've never been to Larry's office, if you're ever in the area, actually, Takor was there recently, which was really cool when he came out to the event in Charlotte. If you're ever in the area, if you're ever driving through, if you're ever flying through and you just have a few hours, I highly recommend you get over to Larry's office. Sometimes we have people from all over the state. Sometimes we've had people fly in from out of country to come see Larry's office just to stop by and say hi. So if you're ever in the area, feel free to go by Larry's office. It's a great place. So one thing I want to share with you that happened at Larry's office is that when these testimonials or success stories come in, we're kind of like addicted to them. So, you know, we have a success wall. We put our students who closed deals and profited with their profit checks, and we post it on the wall. But one of the cool things is we celebrate success by even sharing testimonials. For example, this past week, I must have shared at least probably a good eight to nine testimonials of people and students who are actively doing things that they've never done before, right? So 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago, they never had even made an offer. People who had made offers but never got it accepted, they're actually achieving those things. So when I get those messages, I hear about it on a phone call or I get an email about it, oh man, I am quick to share that around the office, and everyone kind of that just builds momentum. And you got to understand in what Larry does, not only in the real estate side but in the training and helping other people, it's such a really good feeling to hear other people's success. It really is. I mean, it actually ties back into the whole purpose of why he's doing it in the first place. By the way, if you do have any other questions, feel free to use *6 to unmute your phone, and feel free to interrupt me at any time. So the power of sharing your success and what Larry does in the office is really cool, and it just creates a lot of momentum. And to add to that, you know, about sharing success and also what Larry does with helping other people, you know, there's a lot of people in there's a lot of somebody got a question? No? Okay. I was saying that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are in real estate but would not want to share anything they're doing, right? They wouldn't want to tell you. And you actually probably meet some of these people at a REIA group, okay? Some investors where they're really, like, closed off or they don't want to share what's working for them. Right, they kind of just keep everything to the chest, right, and keep it close. You're going to run into that. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be people like that you're going to run into. I don't care if they're at your REIA group. They could be a mortgage broker. I'm thinking of a call I did with a student just about a week and a half ago. This mortgage broker was so reserved that it was like chopping through 15 feet of ice just to get them to start talking. And sometimes you have to go through that, right? Someone may be so cold on the phone, and you kind of just gotta keep warming them up, and melt the ice. Sometimes you'll have people just that harbor their success or harbor what they're doing close to the chest. And I know all of you, everyone listening right now, doesn't see that with Larry. You know, and Larry's a constant giver, constant sharer, and that just keeps coming back around, right? And those are the kind of people you want to stick around with. Because let me tell you, as you go through this business, as you build it, you're going to find a lot of people, they don't even want to share what they got going on. They'll just keep it close to the chest, and that's it. You know. So anyway, keep that in mind when you're out and about and meeting new people for your real estate business. That there's going to be people that way. It doesn't make them bad people, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of warming up to them and building those relationships. And, you know, relationships are everything in this business. I'll touch on this because I've been mentioning how Larry's on the REIA cruise, and I was on the RIA cruise this week, and what's important about RIA groups and some things to participate in, some things to avoid. By the way, if you are not a member of your local RIA group, you need to get involved. You need to be a member. You need to get involved. Now, RIA groups are really unique, and there's other groups like subgroups that branch off from the main RIA group. Right now, I know in Charlotte, there's about five that I'm very aware of, and there's probably even little more groups than that I'm not aware of. But I know there's five just in Charlotte, North Carolina alone that meet in and around that area. There's two RIAs in Charlotte that meet. They each have their main group, and they meet once a month. And the but here's the thing. Here's some the pros. Some pros off the top of my mind about RIAs. One, the networking, right? The speed of building a power team. Now, by the way, if you don't have the power team questions, right? It's a document. If you never got it from me, or if you don't have it, or you haven't looked in your course there, there's some power team questions that you can be asking to build your power team for your realtor, for your attorney, mortgage broker, contractors, right? If you've never had those questions, I call them power team questions, and you would like a copy, just shoot me an email to nathan@larrygoins.com, and I'll get those over to you. What's important in the RIA groups is the speed of having and building relationships. That's what's so powerful. Because think about it. I mean, there's a few ways you can do this, this business, and build relationships. You can kind of do Google searches and search for people that are in that market and that you need their contact information, right? But you're not really sure if they know exactly what you do, right? You're not sure if they're in real estate investing. But when you tap into the RIA group, whether it's locally in the market that you live in, that's where you should be an active member. However, if you are investing in a different state, it's okay. But what I do recommend is, because if you tap into that group also, let me give you an example. If you live in, let's just say, Los Angeles, okay, and you're investing in Georgia, right, in, let's say, Atlanta, if you're in a different state, you should be a member to tap into the Atlanta RIA group members and have access and build a relationship with that market. Tap into those individuals. Get involved in that RIA group. I don't care if it's virtually. You need to be involved. You need to get the referrals from that area. It's really powerful. But also in your own area, if you're investing virtually and not in your backyard, it's powerful to be involved in your own RIA group, because you can build relationships there, especially for raising private money, especially for cash buyers, right? So you can build a relationship even in your local RIA. But here's what's really important. I share this with everyone I talk to, because it is a very slippery slope when investing in real estate. The RIA groups are such a powerful, powerful group of individuals, and there's new people coming in all the time. There's new people from just learning about RIA groups, and they have money. Some people don't have the funds, but they're trying to learn how to do the business. There's some people who attend the RIA groups because they're looking to move their money into the market. What's so powerful, and so the things to keep in mind when you attend a RIA group is this. As a real estate investor, and because you need to be focused on one strategy and one strategy alone for a period of time, now my recommendation is you stay focused on a strategy for over a year. Okay, if you want to move on from another strategy after you're successful, okay, and success is what you define successful. If you think three deals is successful, fine. If you think five deals, 10 deals is successful, then great. Then move on to a different strategy. That's fine. But here's the thing. When you go to a RIA group, they usually start about an hour early with networking. So typically, let me just give you an example. Let's say they start at 7 p.m. Networking starts at 6 p.m. Get there for the networking. Get there early, get there for the networking, start shaking hands, and get contacts. Get business cards. Don't be so quick to pass out your business card. What you want to be doing is collecting information, right? Just like if you're building a buyer's list, building a homeowner's list, motivated sellers list. You need to get the data. You need to collect the lead, right? So when you go to a RIA group, be sure that you're collecting cards, right? Don't be too quick to pass your card out. Get the card first, right? So when you get there for the networking, and then when the speaker comes on, right? When the speaker shows up, whether it's an outside speaker or a local, it could be a local attorney, it could be a local CPA, whatever it is. Here's what's important: don't go into the meeting room. I know I might get some flack for saying this, but listen to me. Do not go into that meeting room and sit down and listen to what's being taught. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong information. But what's so important in your business is to stay super, super focused. What happens is if you're starting your business or you've been doing your business and you haven't hit that success point yet, I don't care if you're on your first deal or you're on your fifth deal, but you're trying to go to 10, it doesn't matter. If you haven't hit your success goal yet, whatever that number is for you, and you get exposed to a different strategy. So let me give you an example about that. If you start off in quick flip wholesale, okay, and then you just find that, hey, you know, I've been trying to do this, and this is for a startup investor or an investor who's been investing maybe 5 years doing rehabs and now they're learning about wholesaling. It doesn't matter what level you're at. But here's what's important. When you're focusing on a strategy and you're learning that strategy, what you need to do is just master that strategy, and then after you achieve your goal, that's great. Here's the slippery slope. If you're trying to learn a strategy and you're implementing everything that you've taught in a course or in a coaching program or you just came from a seminar, what's important is that you need to continue to work on the course material, what your coach has told you, what you learned at the seminar, and not learn a different strategy, right? So if you're gung-ho and you're learning all about, let's say, quick flip wholesaling, you don't want to get exposed to rehabbing. You don't want to get exposed to tax liens and deeds. You don't want to get exposed or get a new idea that self-storage is the way to go, right? Because the reason why that is, you know, as humans, and I've been all over the world, I've talked to people from all over the world, the grass always seems greener on the other side. And you could actually do this in your own car drive or wherever you're going. The mountain always looks more beautiful from afar. But actually, when you get there, you find that there's really nothing that different, right? So keep that in mind with your real estate business and the strategy that you're working on, because you have to stay laser focused. Instead of spending an hour listening to the speaker at the RIA group, okay, instead of spending another hour and a half, 2 hours, or an hour, whatever it is, on a webinar training, what's important is that you take that time and put it back into your business. I was just speaking with a woman yesterday, and she told me that she went to a big live event. She had invested a whole bunch of money, and she got a list of seven seminars? I think it was six. Yeah, I think it was six. She got six seminars ranging from rehabbing, lease options, owner finance, and just a whole bunch, wholesaling. It was a whole bunch, and a coach to come out to her area. So, you know, she made this large investment, and she was excited about it, but she asked me this one thing. She said, what do you think I should do first? And what, do you think I should go to all the classes at once, or do you think I should space them out? I said, listen, if you go to all those classes within a matter of 6 months, let's say, if you did one a month, your head is going to be spinning with all those different strategies, that it'll be so hard for you to get started. You'll just be so overwhelmed, you'll be frustrated, right? So I share that story with you because what's important is that you stay focused with your strategy. I've been doing this a long time, and I've been in this industry quite a bit, and it's so powerful that when somebody actually takes the advice that I just said, and when they get super laser focused and actually work on the business, let me share a quick story. I don't know if he's on the call, but I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. I won't say his name. But I have a student. He's an awesome guy. And you know what he did? He found a way to get lists of motivated sellers. He found lists, and he brought it up to my attention. I didn't tell him to do it. But he found a way to get a list of motivated sellers. And he took it upon his own action. He started searching, and he got some lists. And you know what he ended up telling me this today. He's like, hey, I got these lists. They're motivated people, and this is how I got them. And I said, okay, awesome. So my mind's kind of going here. I'm like, so you just bought a list? I said, do they have phone numbers? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, that's awesome. So I knew what I was going to ask him. Oh, I knew I was hoping he was going to say the outcome that I wanted to say. But I asked him. I said, so what are you going to do? Are you going to call them? And he said, yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing. I was thinking of calling them. I was like, exactly. Get on the phone and call them. Because honestly, and I'll share this one last bit with you. So anyway, he did that, and I said, you know what? I said, what you just did right there, that action is this business. You didn't spend an hour learning how to find motivated sellers. What you did was you went out and found them, and you figured it out, right? So there's a difference. And I said, that action, I know it's small, but that action right there, if you continually act in that behavior of just going out and do it, right? Just go out and find it and do it. Take action quickly on something, right? You will get the results a lot faster. But if you figure out and learn a whole bunch on how to do something, there's this thing. It's so real. It's called analysis paralysis, right? There's a thing called resistance. The thing that whenever we strive for something, it pulls us away from what we want so much and what we desire, right? So just keep that in mind, that the RIA groups are great, the subgroups are great, but when you're focused on a strategy, be careful for additional education that doesn't align with what you're doing. Because if you do, you're going to go down a different road, and you have to start. It's almost like hit and restart. You have to start all over again, okay? And one last tip, by the way, if you do have any questions, I know I've been chatting it up here, but feel free, if you want to interrupt me, you can hit *6 and just yell my name, and we'll get your question answered. But I got one other thing I want to share with you, but interrupt me at any time, is in addition to when you're meeting other investors, it really is exciting, because sometimes, man, I remember when I was working at TJ Maxx, and I'm taking you guys back right now. When I was working at TJ Maxx, I used to work in the loading department, and I was attending RIA groups at the same time. Let me tell you, man, it was so much fun being around the people at the RIA group as that it was at TJ Maxx. No one got me. No one understood me. You know, when they would ask me, what do I do for fun? I'd be like, oh, you know, I do real estate, you know. And no one understood. I couldn't talk to those people. They didn't get me, right? But when I went to the RIA group, it was like other people just like me, like-minded. But one thing you have to keep in mind as you go around these groups of people who are just like you and me, right? What's important is that, and this is going to happen to you, it always does. I can think of one guy, I'm going to kick him in the butt right now. I hope he's listening. But there's when you go to a RIA group or you connect with other investors, if they bring up a strategy or if they bring you a strategy or if they bring you a deal, right, and it doesn't align with your strategy, then you have to say no. Let me give you an example. If you're working on wholesaling or seller financing, right, that's your strategy, whatever it is. In this case, let's just keep it simple to wholesaling. Let's say that's your strategy. You're focused on quick flips, selling the property. Your exit strategy is selling it to rehabbers, selling the property to a rehabber who's going to fix up a property. If someone brings you a land deal, right, or self-storage, and they tell you it's the best thing since sliced bread, you got to check this deal out. Take a look at it. You know, look, there's a $50,000 profit on this deal. You got to see this, right? Right. If that doesn't align with your strategy and what you're doing, you really just get to the point, this is how Nathan would handle the situation. And this may be blunt and it may be bold, but I get right to it, right? And I do it sometimes I'll do it in an aggressive way up front, but then I'll kind of joke about it after. So let me give you an example. I've had people come up to me at investing groups and all that. And they come to me like, oh, you got to check out this self-storage deal. I know you invest in a big apartment. You got to check this out. And then And then I'll say, okay, well, what kind of deal is it? Self-storage. And I'll say, I don't want it. Just like that, right to the point. I'm like, I don't want it. And they're like, no, but you got to check this out. I said, okay, why haven't you bought it? Right? And I'll just throw it right back on them. Right? And that's because the reason why I do that is because I know it doesn't align with my strategy, right? It's not self-storage is not my main strategy, right? So I'm giving you an example of that. And then, just so you know, I'm not that, I can't be bold up front, but then I just kind of cushion it on the back end. And so what I'll say is something like, I don't want it. It's not my strategy. But then I'll say, hey, listen, if I know someone who's interested in self-storage, I'd be more than happy to pass on the contact and let them contact you. How does that sound? Right? So although I am upfront and direct with them upfront, and I'll just say simply direct, I'll say, I don't want it. I will also cushion it up with, hey, there could be a potential referral. Now, if there is, in all honesty, that you know you can refer to someone, then do so. But if that's not the case, then that's not the case. You just say, sorry, I don't know anyone in that who could use that strategy. Anyway, so I share that with you as an example because it's going to happen, especially the more and more you get involved in this business, the more you grow, the more success you achieve, the more deals you do. You know what happens? You become what's called a deal magnet, right? You start, all these people start coming to you, right? You start becoming the most popular person at the RIA group. Everybody wants to ask you questions, and they want to show you their deal, right? They want to bring their deal to you, right? Because you're doing stuff. You're doing the business. So what's important is that you stay focused with the strategy. You have a question? Is there a question? No, I'm chatting it up over here. No? Okay. So what's important is
hey, Nathan,
that
it's Jeremy. I do have a quick question.
Sure. Yeah.
We have several friends who like to do rental properties and have construction backgrounds, and they seem to have pretty good financial means themselves. Typically, they'll tap into home equity lines of credit, or they just have good relationships with local community banks. They've not had trouble finding properties themselves. They tend to have between 8 and 10 properties at any given time.
Okay.
My question is, in the wholesaling example, which is pretty compelling, what have you found is a successful pitch to partnering with people like that who have up to this point found properties themselves? What is it that we are bringing to the table that adds additional value that they can't do themselves as a rehabber?
That's a great question. And I wish I could give you a straight, direct answer. I can give you the direct question you could be asking. The reason why I can't give you a direct answer is because I don't know what they want. Your question is valid and it's powerful. And what I mean is, because I don't know what they want, I don't know what that answer could be. Here's what you can do and should do. What you need to do is get out there and talk to them and say, listen, I've been watching what you're doing. I know you've been rehabbing these properties, and you do a great job at it. I actually admire you, right? You give compliments first, right? Give compliments. I admire you, what you're doing. You should be very proud of yourself for the work and the time and the effort that you've put into your business. And I can tell it's probably paying off for you. What I'd like to know is, I'm in this business as well, I'm in this industry, is what can I do to help you? That's one way, right? What can I do to help you? That's one question. The other question you can ask is, what is the biggest challenge in your business right now? Is it finding deals? Is it loans, lending, right? If you ask one of the two questions, you'll be able to identify how you can assist them in their business. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. I think you're absolutely right. We just need to sit down with them and ask those questions. What are their biggest challenges? What do they like to see? Where are they stuck? And just look for areas of collaboration, because I do believe the wholesaling model makes a lot of sense, especially for, you know, a couple like us who are just getting interest, you know, just starting to get involved and an opportunity to get some good injections of cash fairly quickly as we build up to holding notes. But yeah, you know, just looking at the relationships we have and even some of the people that we saw speak at the RIA meeting that we attended, there were quite a few people who who were in that line of work and just trying to figure out how best to partner with them.
Right, right. And you know what, Jeremy, the you said it right. What's super important there is you need to sit down, have an open conversation. And I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because you know them better than I do. From the conversations we've had about your friends, I don't think they're kind of like standoffish or wouldn't want to have a conversation about it, right? I
mean, no, there'd be no issue approaching our friends for sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You guys are going to, I know there's people on this call listening right now. I know for a fact they're thinking, wow, I wish I had those connections. I wish my friends were doing this, right? So you do have, and I remember when you both shared that with me, I was like, wow, that's a really, it's a very, you're one step closer. A lot of people would have to build those relationships. But because they're already around you, now it's about getting in front of just whether you're meeting up for a drink, coffee, whatever, or for a dinner, and you just kind of get it out there. So, you know, we're coming into this industry. This is a long-term play for us. It's not something we're just going to dip our toe in. We're going to go all in, and we want to build it right. You know, and we want to, in some way, if that's partnering with you guys or bringing something to the table with you, you know, then let's figure out how we can do that if you're open to it, right? Would you be open to that, right? So you always want to ask a question to hear their response. And if they're not open with that, listen, you could always end it like this. You could say, listen, if this is something you're interested in, great, let's figure out what the next step is. If this is something you're not interested in and you don't want to do with us, that's okay. Let's still be friends, of course, but at least we know, and now we know where to go, right? So if you kind of just put it out that way and say, listen, it's okay. It's okay if you want to do this business on your own or if you don't want partners. I understand. We can still be friends. But we just want to know if there potentially could be something here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, glad I could help you out with that. And I actually can't even remember what I was talking about, but that's okay. I know it was about, you know, picking your power team and staying focused when you go to RIA groups. Remember that, you know, there's going to be a lot of deals that can come to you. You will end up becoming a money magnet if you truly believe that you're going to be. If you believe, you will achieve. That's the whole thing I mentioned from the start of the call. This business is like a boxing match, right? You got to believe you're going to win before you even step in the ring. You're going to get some punches. You're going to get knocked down. You got to get back up, and you're going to win some rounds. You're going to lose some rounds, right? So, listen, everyone, it's been a pleasure answering any questions I have. I hope in some way that I've enlightened you, give you some tips, answer the questions, give you the answers to some of these questions. But most importantly, I hope I've inspired you, or the stories that you've heard that me mention has inspired you. Because at the end of the day, this business is all about inspiration, motivation, and attitude. It really is. There's nothing else that's going to get you out of bed to make you do this business. So I hope in some way that you continually to renew your mind and actually stay committed to what your goals and dreams are. It's been a pleasure working on this call tonight with you guys. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Got a question. This is Brian in Arkansas.
Oh, hi, Brian. Will there be a replay?
Yeah, I missed part of the call.
Sure. Yeah, I know we have. I can get the recording for you because it is being recorded. Our back end office where the recordings are is being updated, so I will make sure that you get a recording. Brian, could you do me a favor? Could you email me at Nathan NathaN at LarryGoins.com? So it's Nathan at LarryGoins.com. And if you could shoot me an email saying, "Hey, please send me the recording," that would be awesome.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for chiming in. All right. So, everyone, it's been a pleasure. It's been great. I look forward to either working directly with you as I have been, or be sure on these calls with Larry, right, the next call that Larry gets on with you, be sure that you bring in two questions, right, to ask Larry, two questions about your business. But even more than that, share a success, something that you've done. I don't care if it's you contacted a realtor. I don't care how small it is. It doesn't matter. Celebrate the little things, right? Don't take the little steps for granted, because when you get to the big one, then you're kind of like, ugh. If you don't celebrate the small stuff, you can't celebrate the big stuff. It just doesn't happen. So if you start small and be grateful for all the little steps that you've taken recently, it will totally make you fulfilled in your business as you move forward. Again, everyone, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to chatting with you hopefully in the near future or seeing you at a live event, and I'll talk to you real soon. Good night.